May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 402. My soul lies cleaving to the dust. Lord, give me life divine. From vain desires and every lust, turn off these eyes of mine. Hymn 402.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God, the prophecy of Isaiah. First reading, the latter few verses of chapter 50, beginning from verse 7, and then reading chapter 51 and the first 16 verses. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50, beginning from verse 7, and then chapter 51 down to verse 16. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be for ever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath caught Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I've put my words in thy mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us. Help each one of us to call upon his name, the throne of grace. O Lord, in thy rich mercy, thou hast afforded another occasion to gather together in thy name. O Lord, it is a great mercy and a great wonder, Lord, if thou hast put one desire toward thee, one hungering, thirsting for thy name and for thy gospel into our poor souls. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that the blessing may be ours, that we have sung together, to be quickened, Lord, to be enlightened, to be enlivened again, Lord, in the things of Jesus Christ, in the things that pertain to thy salvation and righteousness, and the things that relate to the good and edifying of the souls of thy people here below. Oh, we do pray, Lord, come to each one of us. Thou knowest our case and thou knowest our need, but we do pray, Lord, that thou hast also heard our prayers from the pews of the house, and we have set these things before thee, Lord, our great need at this time. And Lord, help us each to wait upon thee and be pleased to appear unto each one of us, that this evening hour, that not one of us shall be sent empty away from the means of grace, but that thou wilt be pleased to come, fill us each with thy goodness, or that our souls indeed may rest satisfied in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the blessings and the promises of a God in covenant with his people. And Lord, thy word to our poor souls, a word in season to us, to build us up, Lord, strengthen us by thy Spirit with might in the inner man, we pray thee, Lord. And Lord, only thou can sustain us and uphold us in respect of our soul's needs. But oh, it is a mercy, Lord, if we continue to set these things before thee, Lord, and be pleased to do unto us each the good that thou seest us to stand in need of at this time. O Lord, we do pray that we have not come this evening hour just because it is the time and the occasion to come together in some traditional way and manner, Lord, but oh, that there is fastened upon our spirit a deep need of thee, Lord, that thou wilt come and speak to each one of us, Lord, the words of this life, that thou wilt raise the dead to life, that thou wilt set free the captive, that thou wouldest open the blind eyes, that thou wouldest enlarge our poor souls upon the glory of thy person, and all that thou didst come to do for poor, guilty, ruined sinners here below. Oh, we do seek those further revelations, Lord, of thyself in our room and place at Calvary. Further tokens, Lord, of the great love that thou didst show to thy people, a heavenly Father's love and the gift of his dearly beloved Son. Lay down his life for the sins of his people. Oh, we do pray, Lord, bring us near to thee once more, Lord. Let us see again and again, Lord, thy sufferings and thy death, the agonies of the cross, the precious blood that thou didst shed, the sins forgiven, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be confirmed again, Lord, as those that are journeying forth, Lord, here below, poor pilgrims, Lord, that have known thy rich grace in salvation, and, Lord, we are journeying forth, and we seek, Lord, those further testimonies, further witness, Lord, that we are thine, that thou art ours, in ties of blood. O Lord, we do pray, come to each one of us, Lord. Come to all the seekers, Lord, that have come this evening hour, we pray thee, Lord. O, that thou wouldest, Lord, set that time to favour Zion, if it will be thy gracious will, and that there may be those brought to see and to feel their need of thee this evening hour. We pray thee, Lord, and use thy servant, Lord, and not that there is anything in and of him, in and of himself, thou knowest, Lord. It is thy word and thy spirit alone, and through the gospel that is able to enlighten sinners. Paul may plant and Apollos water, but it is God that giveth the increase. And Lord, if thou wilt use that increase through thy servant, glory to thy name. And if thou wilt use that increase, Lord, and show it and reveal it into the souls of sinners, glory shall be to thy name. And so, Lord, we ask these things, knowing, Lord, that thou art able, and there is nothing too hard for thee, Lord, but that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord. And so, Lord, we come to thee, and in faith, Lord, waiting upon thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and do these things for us this evening hour. And we do pray that it may be a good time and a profitable time to each one of us. For, Lord, it is of thee that we learn here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept. O Lord, it was only a little, Lord, that the dying thief did learn of thee, Lord, and it was in the last moments of his life. Oh, but Lord, it was all needful and all sufficient to his never-dying immortal soul. Oh, that thou didst become precious to him, and truly unto him that thou wast his one treasure in heaven, and thou didst give him a hope of glory, even paradise. And Lord, what great mercy to appear unto one that was truly a transgressor and a breaker of thy holy law. But Lord, thou didst fulfil all for him, for thou didst honour the law, Lord, for him, as though he had never broken it. And Lord, that is the mercy of all poor, guilty, ruined sinners this day, Lord. And Lord, what thou hast done, oh, an all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of thy people, sins past, sins present, sins to come, is the mercy. And Lord, we do pray, oh, that we may enter in such a time and a season this evening hour as that poor dying thief came into, Lord. And the Lord, he beheld thee, and Lord, faith in thee, Lord, that thou didst have a kingdom, and Lord, thou hast a kingdom, and in thy kingdom, Lord, thou hast subjects, Lord. And we think of Zion, the city of our God, that it is populated, and oh, it is with living souls, newborn souls, Lord, souls saved and redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, may this chapel be filled of them, Lord. We pray thee, as we seek thy honour and thy glory and thy salvation for each one of us. Oh, do humble us then each, Lord, under thy mighty hand, that we may be made fitting, Lord, for thy kingdom. We pray thee. So, Lord, be pleased to be with us. We thank thee, Lord, then for thee, our gathering together this evening hour. We pray for thy presence, Lord, to be one in the midst of us, Lord. And we pray for the anointing of thy Spirit, Lord, upon each one of us, that not one of us should be sent empty away this evening hour. We pray thee. And so, Lord, come in thy almighty power and help us each to serve thee aright this evening hour, preparing our hearts to hear and to receive thy word mixed with faith. And oh, be pleased to be revealed to each one of us, we pray thee, this evening hour. We thank thee then, Lord, for this day. Lord, it has been thy good pleasure in providence to bring us to this day, Lord, to see another dawning day, Lord, and thou hast brought us thus far through this day, and that, Lord, we thank thee that we are under thy care, thy keeping. We are under, Lord, the watchfulness of thy eye always upon and towards thy people. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast put forth thy hand to hold us and to keep us in the way this day, Lord, to hold us to thee, Lord, for we cannot keep ourselves, we cannot save ourselves, Lord. It is only as we look unto thee, Lord, and pray, Lord, for thy care and keeping towards us. And Lord, thou hast brought us thus far. Oh Lord, oh, we do pray for much humbling of our hearts before thee, Lord, to keep us low, Lord, and to keep us mindful, Lord, each day, our need of thee, Lord, to bring us through our course, Lord. Thou hast preserved us and brought us thus far this day. Thou hast been with us in our coming and our going. Thou hast been with us, Lord, in those things that we have been about this day, the proper and lawful things for us to do. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for all these things, Lord, in thy care and thy providence towards us. Thou hast supplied all our needs through the person of thy dearly beloved Son, to the glory of thy name. And Lord, and we pray, help us each to cast all our care upon thee still, and wait upon thee for all things that are needful to us here below. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to look down upon us, a church and people, Lord. We do pray those that gather together in thy name, Lord, and seek, Lord, the honour and glory of it. And we pray, Lord, rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives and in every part of the way, Lord. And help us also to give thee the preeminence, to put thee first and foremost in all things, we pray thee, and never to go forth, Lord, without thy word and without thy permission, Lord. Never, Lord, to seek our own way through our course here below, but always to come to the light and truth of thy word. For thy word is a lamp and light to our feet and path. Yea, Lord, in the dark times and the dark seasons, a lamp and light to our feet and path. The times and seasons, Lord, that we know not which way to take, but wait upon thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come. Lead us and guide us all our journey through, and that we might be found in that way and path that thou hast ordained for us here below. Be our helper, Lord, in these things, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to draw near to thy people here as they gather together week by week in thy name. Be their all-sufficient helper, Lord, the deacons and the members and the members of the congregation, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, draw near to each in their respective needs, we pray thee. And we pray for all, the Lord, of our churches and chapels and in our denomination especially, Lord. Some, Lord, in a very low place, Lord, twos and the threes that truly gather together in thy name. And Lord, there are many, Lord, who have many reading services, Lord, no live ministry as much as others, Lord. And thou knowest how that we pray over them and commit them into thine ever merciful hands, that thou wilt come to their help and to their need, O Lord. And be that one, Lord, to raise up faithful men and put them, Lord, into the ministry. We pray thee, and for the harvest is great, Lord, and the labourers are few. Be pleased, Lord, to appear, we pray thee, and put them forth into the harvest, Lord. We pray thee, and that they may, Lord, be those, Lord, that shall gather in through the gospel, we pray thee, the elect of grace, called and chosen, Lord, and delivered and saved through the gospel, we pray thee. And we pray, Lord, for each of thy sent servants, Lord, whom thou hast thrust out upon the walls of Zion. Be pleased to draw near to each and every one, Lord, and those that shall be speaking in like manner at this evening hour as thy servant, Lord. Oh, be their help and all-sufficient one. Help them to stand forth upon the walls of Zion and to preach thine everlasting gospel. O Lord, we pray for those thy servants that are laid aside at this time and afflictions that have come upon them, Lord. And thou knowest how that we bear them before thee day and night, Lord. O Lord, they're in our hearts and do hear our prayers and petitions in respect of them, Lord. And be pleased to rule and to reign, Lord, and to overrule in all things, Lord, for the honour and glory of thy name and for the good of Zion, we pray thee. But do come and appear for them, Lord, as we commit them into thy hands. Be merciful, kind, and gracious, we pray thee. So, Lord, we do pray, hear us in our prayers and petitions as we call upon thy name. And Lord, as we now, Lord, enter into the ministry of thy word, O prepare each of our hearts, Lord. O Lord, show thy servant what to say and what to speak in thy name, and lead him into thy truth, we pray thee. And let thy word through thy servant become a rich treasure of thy gospel grace in the souls of thy people. But let it come through his earthen vessel, Lord, that the excellency and the power may be of God, not of us, Lord. And be pleased, Lord, that it might enter into the hearts of each before thee, we pray thee, and that their time spent here this evening hour, that they may be able to say that they've been with Jesus. O Lord, pardon and forgive our every sin, and let not sin have dominion over us, Lord, but subdue all sin, we pray thee, Lord, and help us to confess and to repent our sins and iniquities, we pray thee, and to flee, Lord, to that fountain of thy precious blood opened in the city of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And Lord, may we feel its healing virtue, in and upon our poor souls to cleanse and to heal and to give an absolute cure for the malady of all our sin. We pray thee. We ask these mercies in and through that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast. While Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 51 by way of a text reading from verse 5. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 51, reading from verse 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. We have the gospel again shown and revealed to us in the prophecy of Isaiah. We read a little of those things that were come upon the Lord Jesus, and those who were his adversaries, the wicked hands that did ultimately take him and crucify him. But the Lord indeed is that one that set his face like a flint, and he still went forth to the work that his heavenly Father gave him to do. That was the salvation that he should provide for the sins and the iniquities of his people, all whom his heavenly Father gave to him in covenant, that he should become the surety of his church and people by and through his work of mediation for them upon the cross at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus went forth. But the church were in a very low place here. They were those where in chapter 51 in the first few verses, in chapter 50 in the first few verses, we have this truth: thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? You see, the desolation of the Jews were due to themselves. They had forsaken the Lord and turned their back upon him. And he asked them to produce the bill of divorcement that caused the separation, you see. Well, it is the solemn truth in respect of the Jews at large. And clearly it is shown in the gospel days. And in the Gospels, as we read in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, how that there were indeed only a few that truly sought him. But he says, in respect of this, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? You see, he is able. And, well, it is here that they turn their back upon him. And all the wonderful times and seasons that the Lord Jesus bore long with them, his long suffering towards them. He bid them to search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. And they would not have this man to reign over them. And so, in very solemn times, and then it proved to be so following the day of Pentecost. Yes, it was a wonderful day and a wonderful time and season when so many saw and felt their need of the Lord Jesus and were saved and redeemed. But even then, dear friends, the church were in a very low place, and from its very birth and infancy sought on every hand to overcome and destroy this gospel. And we can see that in the manner and the attitude of Saul of Tarsus, you see. And he was so wicked in his heart, dear friends. He sought to overcome that gospel that held good news of salvation to sinners. But there are those important truths that Jesus must go forth. And he must go forth to the work. And in another place he says he shall not fail. nor be discouraged, and he will not fail. Not those that his heavenly Father gave to him. No, he will not fail to go forth to the work. His perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father and the wonderful love that his heavenly Father held out to ruin sinners, for his heavenly Father knew the solemn truth of the fall even before time began, and made every provision with his dearly beloved Son in respect of a full and free salvation for them. And it was all sealed up in covenant. And I will give him to be a covenant for the people. And true it was, dear friends, he became our covenantee. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He will not be discouraged with all those that strove against him, scorned him and mocked him, derided him. No. And he wasn't discouraged, dear friends, in respect of the work that his heavenly Father gave to him, the afflictive path that he would be brought to pass through. No, he was not discouraged. And then also he was not discouraged, dear friends, when he was to suffer, bleed and die for the sins of his people. And it included all their black sins, you see, all the evil and the wickedness of their hearts and lives, you see. He was not discouraged, you see. No. Love, dear friends, is love to his people and the salvation that he should provide for them is the wonderful truth. This love could never be severed, either before his sufferings and death, and never afterwards. Love. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Just want to speak of one or two important thoughts in respect of my righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. It went forth, dear friends, before time began, really, didn't it? Everything was settled. Settled between Father, Son, and Spirit in respect of the whole salvation of the church. And Paul, he must have wondered that this wonderful truth that when he came upon his knees and thanked the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ for this wonderful truth, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Not one of them to be left out. Everyone. And they were all loved with an everlasting love. And their salvation, dear friends, was certain. And it was secured by the blood of the everlasting covenant, where Jesus sealed every one of them inside of that covenant in his precious sin-atoning blood. Before time began, the blood of the everlasting covenant shed for sinners. But I want to speak of this righteousness and this salvation and the way, dear friends, whereby it can be obtained and the great need of it. There is a great need of this righteousness and this salvation. This righteousness, it isn't the righteousness of God as he is God, but it's that righteousness in the person of his dearly beloved Son. My righteousness is near, and we may see this in respect of his dearly beloved Son, the promise that God the Father gave in prophecy and the testimony of it, of him that should come. My righteousness is near, and the church here, yes, in a very low place, they were those who were brought to trust. We're going to speak just a little of those that would trust upon him, trust in him. But you see, in the previous chapter that we read together, it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I'm going to open up a few thoughts in respect of that, in the application of this verse 5. But you see, this is the wonderful truth. My righteousness is near, and so it was. It was always promised. And the church, they looked to these promises. It was to the encouragement of their never-dying immortal souls. And here is the blessing that belongs to the church and the people of God. My righteousness is near. Well, today, his righteousness is near. It is near today. My salvation is gone forth. It is gone forth today. You see, is the wonderful truth. We're in the experience of these words of our text today. Not only did the church wait for his coming, as we see it, dear friends, at the time when the angel came to Mary, and those good things that were spoken in respect of the promise of him that should come unto us, is born unto us, is born a child, a son is given. My righteousness is near. And it's such an important truth, this righteousness, isn't it? Such an important truth. Sometimes it puts the salvation before the righteousness, but here we have the righteousness which comes before the salvation, but they each come together, really. We may just think of that other season, time where the salvation came first, and it says in Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Such an important truth, this, dear friends. The church from the beginning, they were all clothed in this righteousness, accepted of God. And this is the only acceptance of God. As the church stand whole and complete, pure, perfect, upright, in the person of his dearly beloved Son, in and through a righteousness wrought for them. And it was the blessing that belonged unto Abel, wasn't it? He had to stand pure and holy and perfect. And it is important for everyone, dear friends, of those whom I've mentioned, whose names were named in heaven and in earth, named in the covenant of grace, named and all set down, dear friends, and registered and enrolled in heaven before time began. They must all stand in this righteousness, you see. It's their acceptance before God. And then there is another truth, how this righteousness would come to them. Well, I just quote in the 11th of Hebrews where that truth in respect of Abel, but you see, the blessing from the very beginning of time, when our first parents fell, and the solemn truth that we are all of his posterity, posterity of our first parents. And we were all conceived in sin, born in iniquity. And were those dear friends that became estranged from God. And is the solemn truth, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You see, it was shown to our first parents in respect of that sacrifice where God slew a beast and clothed our first parents. So a sacrifice, you see, showing to our first parents very clearly that way to worship God and please him, and that way to seek the pardon of their sins and iniquities. And then also the mercy that came forth out of Garden's Eden, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. Now that was a sacrifice, and that was the seed that they should look to. That was he that they should look to, even the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends. And his sacrifice was accepted and received of God the Father. He looked upon it. Why? Because he saw his dearly beloved son, dear friends. Yes, his faith, Abel's faith was fixed, dear friends, upon him that should come ultimately in time and provide that wonderful sacrifice for his sins and iniquities, and whereby he should stand whole and complete in and through Jesus. Yes, his faith was upon the sacrifice. Calvary, the faith, and that is the faith of every one of those whom I have named, both in heaven and in earth, dear friends, that should be born upon this earth. Yes, it is in Jesus, and my righteousness is near, and it is important, this righteousness. And we don't very often think or consider ourselves to be righteous. We may often, yes, be confessing and repenting our sins and iniquities, that is true, and will do to the end of our days. And there isn't a day passes by, dear friends, when I have to bow my unworthy head, confess and repent my sins, dear friends. But there is something that we may not often regard or take much notice of, and that is that we stand whole, pure, perfect, and righteous. And that, dear friends, is that part of that new man of grace within us. Must be whole, must be perfect. It isn't that we go around telling everyone, oh, I'm righteous. No. But it isn't very often that we can come and truly bow before the Lord and think of it and thank the Lord for his righteousness to us, that he has clothed us in his righteousness, that wonderful garment that faith has put on. It isn't very often that we might thank the Lord for it, is it? I've heard many, many prayers, good and faithful prayers of the saints. But perhaps once or twice, you see, I've heard this real thanksgiving for that righteousness of Jesus that adorned their naked souls. And, dear friends, I say this because I want to more and more thank the Lord for this righteousness. Because, dear friends, that is the only thing that can give any comfort and joy and peace to my never-dying immortal soul. It's all I want to know and feel here below. You see, this adorning of his righteousness, it will be active in our lives, dear friends, the way, dear friends, that we go forth here below, conduct ourselves in the love and fear of the Lord. Yes, these are all the fruits of that new man and that righteousness that is within us. But I want to be able to thank the Lord for it, and more, because not only have I been accepted of God the Father, that he should become my God and my Father. You see, it is through this righteousness of Jesus. And then there is something else. It came forth through his love. That is the very foundation of this righteousness. It's through his love to us. And it came forth by Jesus. You see. And then also, it's a seal and a token of heaven, this righteousness. Oh, what wonderful truth, dear friends, are shown to us in respect of this righteousness. And my righteousness is near. And it is near, dear friends. Where is it near? Why, it's in the gospel. It's preached to us week by week. You see, this righteousness is near. And what a mercy if we have come to the Lord's house seeking this to be our portion. Dear friends, it will be a portion forever. I just think of hymn number 920, and it's a wonderful hymn. But it says, "Ye who find yourselves polluted, feel your hearts a sink of sin, ye shall have by God imputed righteousness that's white and clean. 'Tis the garment wove by everlasting love." 'Tis, you see, it was woven by everlasting love, wasn't it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in harmony together. And this wonderful garment was woven. Dear friend, it was all settled before time began, that work that Jesus should come and do. 'Tis Jehovah's own providing, better wisdom can't devise, from his eye forever hiding sins of every name and size. He that wears it is by God exalted high, not in pride, dear friends, or in humble praise and glory to God, you see. And then this truth, but this righteousness of Jesus, once applied, 'tis always on. As I say, we don't always, or perhaps not able to think or thank the Lord for it. It's not always in our minds, but it's always on. Never to be removed, dear friends, never to be removed. It cannot be. You see, but this righteousness of Jesus, once applied, 'tis always on. 'Tis their title, to the mansion, love ordained. Now, dear friends, we come to the truth of those whom the Lord will be pleased to afflict, trouble, burden in respect of their sins and iniquities. And I do believe that there will be some measure of our sins revealed and made manifest to our consciences. For the Holy Spirit, 'tis he that taketh of the things of Jesus and that showeth them unto us. And it will be by power, dear friends, that we'll be brought to see and to feel our sins and iniquities. And the Spirit of the Lord will come to every one of those that I've mentioned, whose names are indeed written in heaven, and they will be brought to see and to feel their need of the Lord Jesus. They will be brought to see the uncleanness of their hearts by nature. And I just go to a word that, it was a word that I remembered and quoted quite often when I was a young person. But I quoted it without knowing the power of it. But the Lord was pleased to show me the power of it. when he began to show me my sins. And the word is this: but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses, yes, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind hath taken us away. You see, and I quoted this quite often when I was a young man, but I never knew, dear friends, until the Spirit of the Lord was pleased to open my eyes and show me that that was me, you see. And in that Adam nature, and in showing me that, dear friends, it showed me that, yes, I was far from God. And, yes, in my sins and iniquities altogether as an unclean thing. Well, dear friends, it is the Lord only that appeared, revealed and manifest himself to me. It was by and through providence, dear friends, that the Lord stopped me in my mad career, as it were. But you see, he will stop every one of his dear people, and he will reveal and manifest somewhat of the truth of these words here, that what we are by nature, and that we're completely estranged from God through our sins and iniquities. But oh, what a mercy it is to reveal and manifest that there is a gracious promise that is given to us. He says, I will heal them, cleanse them. Oh, this is the wonderful truth shown to us in Jeremiah. And it is the truth. He says, behold, I will bring it health and cure. And I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. It is Jesus that went forth, dear friends, to the cross, as we have made mention of. Set his face like a flint, dear friends. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. The work was before him, and he went forth. His own right arm brought salvation for him, for his people. And it was the Lord Jesus found in the room and place of the sinner. And what a wondrous truth it is, dear friends. Jesus says in that precious word, and I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. Those that I have spoken of or made mention of, those whose names in heaven and earth, they will all be drawn unto Jesus. And dear friends, is this some hope for a seeking soul here this evening? Dear friends, the Lord Jesus was my only hope when my sins were revealed. I had nothing else to look to, nothing else to hope in, nothing else to trust in. We have this word trust here. Nothing else to trust in. And it is what Jesus came to do for me, for my soul. And it will be the same for you, dear friend. Oh, if sin is the plague of thy heart, then, dear friends, it is the Lord that has begun. I read here, which I go back to, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Well, do you fear the Lord, dear friends? And I say it in this way. Do you fear the Lord? I believe that it's this fear that is wrought in the soul of one who has been made conscious of their need as a sinner. And there's a fear of the Lord, not a slavish fear, dear friends, but a fear of the Lord, you see, because his work of grace has begun. He's begun to change thy soul. He's begun to show himself in his great power in thy soul. And this fear of the Lord, this work that has begun, and it's a work, dear friends, that you've never known and understood before, because your sins have been revealed and manifest, is the truth. And you know, I went so many years without the knowledge of this, the solemn truth of my sins. No, but when the Spirit of the Lord will come and charge our sins upon our conscience, then there will be this gracious fear. I believe it is a gracious fear, because it will be a looking to the Lord, and it will be honouring his work of grace that he has begun in the soul. There will be an honouring of that, you see, and there will be a drawing influence of the Spirit in that fear, drawing thee to Christ, you see, for mercy. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Has the Lord spoken into thy poor soul, dear friends, and told thee that thou art a sinner? You see, this is the gospel, isn't it? It's the Lord. It's by and through his Spirit and power that walketh in darkness and hath no light. And that is how we are by nature, isn't it? Walking in darkness and hath no light. And yet the Lord now beginning to work in us and to show to us our need of a Saviour to come and to enlighten us, that the glorious light of the gospel may shine into our poor hearts and reveal a precious Christ to be our Saviour and Redeemer, is the wonderful truth. And it says, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, isn't this the wonderful truth? Let him trust, let him hope in the name of the Lord. This one now that's troubled and burdened with sin, let him hope and trust in the Lord alone. Here is the mercy. And dear friends, is this thy trust? Is this thy hope, thy only hope in Jesus? There isn't any other hope, dear friends. No, and it's a hope in what he came to do. A hope, dear friends, that he came to do it for thy soul and for my soul. Yes, is the hope, isn't it? But he came and he was found in the Roman place of his people upon the cross at Calvary. Let him be thy trust. It means hope here. Hope, thy only hope. Let him be thy hope. A sin-convicted soul, but hope in Jesus. Hope in his precious blood. Hope in that wonderful salvation that he wrought for sinners, in the glorious robe of righteousness that he wrought out for thee, in the merits of his life, the merits of his person, the merits, dear friends, of his cross, his sufferings, his doing and dying for his dear people, and his perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father. Glorious robe wrought out for the soul. And then, isn't this the truth? In knowing the blessedness of thy peace and pardon through his blood, this full and free salvation that is shown here is the mercy. This righteousness, then, when thou hast known thy peace and pardon through his blood. And, you know, we mustn't think that we've got to come with some great big witness and testimony, you know, to the church. We mustn't think, dear friends, that we've got to have a great long account, you see, of what the Lord has done for us. No. That poor man upon the cross beside the Lord Jesus didn't have some great big testimony, did he? What did he have? He knew this, that the Lord suffered, bled and died for his sins. And that was his only hope, wasn't it? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Dear friends, it's what the Lord has done. One word, dear friends, can set thee free. I've heard many testimonies of those of the Lord's people that have come forth. And I just remember one that she came forth and she said, I don't feel that I've got anything to say. I've got very little to say. Well, that was true. But we heard her testimony. And she was one, yes, she was raised up in our denomination, and she went away for a little while. She thought, I don't know what she was seeking after, but she wasn't settled, dear friends, under the ministry, dear friends of our ministers, but not for any reason, dear friends of the ministers. It's because the Lord hadn't opened her eyes, and she was going elsewhere to see if she could find something. But the Lord brought her back. Oh, he brought her back. And he spake a wonderful word into her soul. She was a seeker. And the word that the Lord spoke was this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And she felt that she hadn't brought enough. Well, dear friends, she brought all her salvation, didn't she? What more could a poor soul ever seek and desire? Some might think, well, they want a further witness. They want a further testimony. Well, the only further testimony that the Lord gave to this lady was this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She wasn't to go with any other word, you see. He gave it twice. And I don't think he gave it the second time for a confirmation, but to say that the first time was the right time. And dear friends, to say that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, isn't that the whole of our salvation, dear friends? Isn't it this shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. We will never want for anything, dear friends. No, we're not necessary to wait for a confirmation. It was just that word. The Lord is my shepherd. And she felt it with spirit and power. And dear friends, if the Lord will call himself to be thy shepherd, what more could you ever want? You see, the testimony. Oh, may we be brought, dear friends, to wait upon the Lord. And you see, the Lord was her great salvation. And yes, she was received into the church on that testimony with power, dear friends. It could not be denied, could it? Could not be denied. Read, dear friends, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Lord is my shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. And that truth, my sheep hear my voice. She'd heard his voice. My righteousness is near. When our sins are pardoned, dear friends, it's a wondrous work of imputation. The sins of the church are all borne out upon Jesus. Yes, the curse of a broken law. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, you know. How he was made a curse for us. For everyone, dear friends, that hangeth upon a tree, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He kept that holy law of God. He honoured it, dear friends, and he honoured it for his people, as though we'd never broken it. Then, dear friend, all the claims of divine justice, dear friend, upon thy soul and my soul, yes, in respect of this salvation, Jesus, oh, isn't he that one indeed? As he suffered upon the cross at Calvary, all the wounds and the bruises, the nails, dear friends, the crown of thorns, the agonies of the cross, dear friends, I just feel that I have to come to this word because my righteous servant, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. There is our great salvation, dear friends. It's everything what Jesus has done, isn't it? And what a mercy it is to come to that place of nothingness in and of ourselves. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth in the preaching of the gospel today. My salvation is gone forth, and it shall go forth till the end of time through his sent servants and those whom we would be pleased to use in the proclamation of the gospel. Yes, my salvation is gone forth, and it is a full and free salvation. But these ones, dear friends, in this righteousness, they're those that are so blessed indeed. The last words in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. No death, dear friends. What does it mean? When it says the way of righteousness is life, it's Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Jesus is the way. And then it says in the pathway, just the same thing. In the pathway, it says this, that there is no death. What does it mean? There may be a corporeal death, but there's no spiritual and eternal death. No, is the wonderful truth. This righteousness gives thee a hope of heaven, you see. And this is the word, isn't it? In the way of righteousness is life. It's this life spiritual. It's this new creation. It's being born again. And it's being brought into a new and a living way. And new desires, new love, new affections, new thoughts, dear friends. And new actions here below. All that pertain, dear friends, to a God-fearing soul, following the Lord Jesus, honouring him, coming into the ordinances of his house, blessed under his word and his truth and his gospel, you see. Oh, this is the wonderful truth of these words. To be one of these, and the hope of heaven and glory. And because, you see, Jesus, isn't he that one that was raised from the dead? Isn't he that one, dear friends, that passed this way before us? And it means this, that the Lord's dear people shall not see death. You see, they will be sleeping in Jesus till that resurrection morn. They sleep in Jesus because they know that they're going to rise again and forever be with Jesus. No death, dear friends. No. Jesus has conquered those great enemies of death and the grave. He has overcome them for the church. Oh, what he has done at Calvary, dear friends. Oh, he has wrought the greatest victory, dear friends, ever seen in the world today. You see, he's overcome all the enemies of the church. He's conquered and overcome them all. Every one of their enemies. And now they live by faith upon him, is the wonderful truth. In the way of righteousness is life. It's a life of faith and love upon the Lord Jesus. A life and love of worship and devotion. A life of the faith of prayer and supplication. They live a spiritual life. They're new creatures. A new creation is the wonderful mercy. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. This is the gospel. Mine arms shall judge the people. Jesus in the gospel, it will judge the people. And dear friends, if the Lord will be pleased to come and judge us, oh, it will be one of the greatest blessings that a poor soul can ever hear and receive. You see, it will take away all our judgments. All what we are by nature I'll show you that truth. Better that it comes from Scripture, isn't it? Is the wonderful truth. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3. It says, "The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy." What does it mean? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. It's all that we are by nature. Oh, dear friend, it's the way that the Lord will prepare us. The way that the Lord will wean us away from all things that are of self and the creature. All the our own intellect, our own so-called wisdom and what we think of religion, dear friends. All that has to go. It went with me, dear friends. It went with me. And then we'll be weaned from the world. And then from Satan, it says, all thine enemies, Satan himself, he dwells within us by nature, you see. But, oh, isn't this the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent said, wasn't he manifested to destroy his works within us, dear friends? He was, is the wonderful truth. And this is the word here. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment. He will judge thee. And it is to bring thee to nothing. A poor, weak and helpless worm of the earth, looking only unto Jesus. And it was my experience. All I cried for, dear friends, for 3 weeks was mercy. Mercy. I was a poor worm of the earth. That's all I asked for. The Lord had brought me low, dear friends, removed all the hardness of my nature, destroyed it, you see, gave me a new heart, put his spirit within. Yes, a heart, dear friends, that the Lord was pleased to give, a sincere heart. But it was a crying heart, dear friends. And mine arms shall judge the people. The arms, you know, we can't do anything without our arms, can we? But they suggest power and authority. And we do everything in respect of our arms. But when we speak of these arms of Jesus in the gospel, it's these arms, dear friends, where he will take the whole of his gospel and he will come to every one of his dear people and apply the glorious truths of salvation and redemption to their souls. These are the arms of Jesus in the gospel, dear friends. They're with power, authority. They're gospel arms, dear friends. And, you know, when the Lord begins with his gospel arms with us, we will never be out of them after that. No. Why, he upholds us and keeps us with these arms, dear friends. None shall pluck them out of my hands. Underneath are the everlasting arms. We didn't feel it, dear friends, till the Lord met with us. We didn't know much about these everlasting arms beneath. But now, dear friends, this is the wonderful truth that belongs to the church, all borne up and carried and brought thus far. These arms of love and mercy, these arms that will protect and defend his people, these arms where Jesus says, none shall pluck them out of my hand. No, this is the safety and security of those that have been blessed here with this righteousness and this salvation in Jesus. Why? They've been brought poor and weak and helpless and needy, dear friends. They cannot keep themselves anymore. And what they pray often for is that the Lord will always keep them. May we never be left to try and keep ourselves, you see. Jesus is the keeper of our souls. He is the upholder of our souls. He will maintain our souls even to the end. It is only him that can give succor and strength to our souls. It is only he that can impart his word, his truth, his gospel and his promises to us. and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me. Well, this may have its reference, dear friends, to the Gentiles, that the word was to be proclaimed and sent forth. My salvation is gone forth. And to the four corners of the earth, dear friends, according to the promise of the Lord. First at Jerusalem, then through Judea, then, dear friends, to the ends of the earth, to the isles, even this isle, Great Britain. The isles shall wait upon me. Are we waiting upon the Lord in respect of his great salvation, dear friends? Is it thy poor soul? The Lord has shown you a wonderful truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. This is the word, isn't it? The isles shall wait upon me. Are we all waiting upon the Lord? Have we all got a need of this Jesus to be our Saviour and our Redeemer? What a mercy, dear friends, if there was a chapel full here of poor, needy souls waiting upon the Lord. And we will be waiting upon the Lord all our days. Everything we need comes from him. Everything. Sometimes, dear friends, I sit down and consider all that the Lord has done for me, what he has given me, what he has provided for me, what he has taken away from me, which has been good, dear friends. But everything, dear friends, that I have is from the Lord. Things providence, things in grace particularly, all from the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. And he supplies all our needs, doesn't he? There isn't anyone else that we can look to, dear friends. We shall need him, dear friends, to the end of our days. The isles shall wait upon me. Oh, what a mercy it is to wait upon Jesus. And then this truth. And they shall, and on mine arm shall they trust? Well, we've spoken about these arms, dear friends, put forth in respect of salvation, but it's these arms that will bear us up and carry us all our journey through. Do you want anyone else to do it, dear friends? I don't want anyone else. Underneath are these everlasting arms. And when we think of the eternal God being a refuge for our poor souls, eternal and everlasting are both self and the same thing, aren't they? We've got an everlasting refuge, dear friends, over and in respect of everything concerning us in our lives here below. We can turn into him, dear friends, at all times, in all needs and circumstances, you see. And then, underneath the everlasting arms, always bearing up his people, always supporting them. None shall ever fall through those everlasting arms. No, yes, and on mine arm shall they trust. And they trust in him and have a hope in him for everything. Whatever their path is here below, it may be such an afflictive path, it may be a trying path, maybe such a disappointing path, dear friends. Sometimes we may not be able to understand our path, but are we trusting in the Lord? Are we trusting in the Lord? You see, because it's his path, it's his way. Let us trust in the Lord. Let us be submissive to him, you see, in everything that concerns us. There's a promise, and I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because they're an afflicted and a poor people. And they cannot trust in themselves. They can only trust in the Lord. and we haven't got anyone else in respect of our life and circumstance here below, in respect of our great salvation, heaven and glory, we can only trust in one, the dear Lord Jesus, who gave himself to be a ransom for our never dying, immortal souls. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Christie will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Izzard on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1040. When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all we saw and heard was suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Hymn 1040.
Thank you.
pleased to be with those unable to attend with us this evening hour. Draw near to them, keep them, preserve them, thy love and fear, watch over them for good. Pleased to have all the praise and the glory in our worship and devotion this evening hour. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.